at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, welcome back to hour two of the Home Improvement Show. I am your host, Rich Orris. Here today, we got a whole nother hour left for you. Anything you need about your house, inside, outside, siding, windows, doors, roofs, all the way through, kitchens, whatever you need, maintenance stuff, I'll do everything I can, Scout's Honor, to help you the best way that I can. You can give me a call right here today, 314-436-7900. Get in on some of these really great questions and really great conversations. And speaking of that, we have Kim on the line. Let's get right to Kim and see what's going on. How can we help you?
Well, what I have going on is a new build. It's a new house being built. They came in Tuesday, put the footers in with the concrete. They came in the next day, they put the concrete walls.
Yeah, like the forms. They put the forms up. Yeah.
Yeah, they did all that. Now, it's going to be a slab. It won't have a basement. But my question is, do those walls need some type of waterproofing put on them?
It is a good idea that they have just what we usually do. It's just a spray. It's kind of like a black tar kind of spray waterproofing that they spray on there on the outside before they do all the backfill and everything. It is definitely a good idea to do that, because even with a slab, you can get water through and moisture, and it's just like in a basement. Hydrostatic pressure could bring it up through the around the floor drain, any seams in the concrete, anything like that, and you can still have water issues going on a slab home. So hopefully they'll get the height that they need around the perimeter to kind of keep the water away and not getting towards the wall and everything. But yeah, it's a fine way to build. Just do your waterproofing and you should be good. Are they putting any like HVAC or like radiant heat or anything in that concrete?
Oh, I'd love to do the radiant heat, but that was too expensive.
Yeah, I'd get that. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I priced that in dollars to donuts. Man, oh man, I love the concept, but it was just way too out of my price range. But no, everything is going to be going in overhead, from what I understand.
Okay. Yep, that's a good way to do it with the slab, because I've seen a lot where they do make ductwork that you can put in the ground that'll run under and come up and all that. But there is so much work to try and keep that moisture out and rock around it or encase it. It's almost like that radiant heat. I'd imagine it gets so expensive that you're just better off going overhead and then insulating really well so that you're not losing a lot of your air out of the attic.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the information. I appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, no problem. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the question. And, there's a lot that goes into ductwork anymore. It's, you know, all those systems kind of rework and change, and it's because we find the faults and the flaws that happen over the years and kind of go, wow, that wasn't the best way to do things. So we should rethink that. So before, they would just put ductwork underground with rock all around it, and it would be a spiral ductwork, so it was a little stronger to hold its form against crushing and things like that. But the moisture would just get to it and eat it away. And I would find rust through it, holes in it. We've seen so much of that with ductwork in the ground because of ground moisture. It doesn't even necessarily have to be water getting through and pouring in and all that, but just ground moisture being in there constantly and just eating away at it over years, it just and it can be so unhealthy once that happens, just because of the mold and the things that can get in that ductwork. And I've seen so much of that. So in today's world, they really go really to the extremes with that. They would recommend encasing it in concrete if you could, if you put ductwork under a slab like that, or you use that stuff and you put all this water vapor barrier and rock and you do all this work around it and you the outside's painted with like a PVC paint, and they even give them like touch-up stuff. So when you're installing it, if you scratch it or anything, you touch up that PVC. So a lot goes into. So any more with the expense and the investments of how things happen, kind of like that radiant heat, you just start doing it other ways because they have better investments and it's not quite as tough to purchase doing it another way. We start leaning those ways, but we do have to be careful of what we're going to find once we start doing those other ways. When you get that ductwork in the attic, you're going to want to insulate it. You're going to want to seal it with some good tape at all the seams. I mean, your HVAC ductwork on average in any conventional built home leaks between 20% and 30% of the air that runs through it out of those pipes. So when those pipes are in your attic and the only thing separating you and the outside is insulation stacked on top of it, it's a very good idea to seal that up so that it doesn't leak and let that air travel through and get into your home. Then you can insulate it really, really well, because the attic breeze, we just went over attic ventilation and everything. So it's basically considered outside of the envelope of the house. Your attic is outside temperatures. So you just got to really watch how you insulate that ductwork to keep that temperature separated so you don't get condensation. And that gets even more, it becomes more of an issue for everyone when you put that unit in the attic, because now you've got the whole unit up there that's not necessarily probably the most efficient thing, because again, you've got these units where you're going, okay, not everybody gets the highest efficiency unit because of the same reason Kim didn't get the radiant floor heat. They see the really high energy efficient stuff and they go, wow, that's so much more money. I'll do this so I can afford it. So it's not as efficient. It's up in the attic and you're losing the 30% you're losing is not into your basement. It's right out your attic roof. So it goes away pretty quickly in those scenarios. So it's fine. It's good. You just have to do it in a really well way to make sure that you get as much benefit out of that system as you can. You want to make sure that you're not just squandering away a lot of the money that you're paying for that air conditioning, for that heating in the winter and everything as that's happening. But hey, we're going to get into our first break here. Don't forget that I am right here. Plenty of time for conversations. 314-436-7900. We'll be right back. And
you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, welcome back once again to the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here with anything that you need. We've had some really good questions. Some things common, and it happens all the time, and we do have a lot of the same conversations because things are just common, and especially in different areas, like in the St. Louis area, and we have all the freeze thaw, so we have a lot of concrete things going on, and deficiencies that happen, and cracks and movement, and the spalling where just little chunks pop out of your concrete. So the quality means so much, and getting that sealed and getting that the best way that you possibly can all the way through to try and make that last. Where you go to a lot warmer climates where they're not getting the freezing and the thawing overnight and the cold weathers, and it just they don't have that issue, and they're like, wow, they just don't even know about that, or it's not a huge concern. So there's definitely a lot of common things in common areas, but they have other different issues that we probably don't see nearly as often because of maybe just the heat or all of that. So a lot of things to kind of consider with where you are and how you build and how you do it. And I'm speaking with clients all the time, and we compare a lot. Kind of like Kim was just talking about with the new construction home, we compare home shopping, going out to purchase a home, building a home, all kind of relevant the same to figuring out remodeling, figuring out what you can or can't do or what you could get. And it's You're kind of picking through, like Kim said. I love the radiant heat. I would have loved to have the radiant heat, but all these things you start piling on, all these different options. Sometimes it's nice to splurge in the place where it's something like that you really really love and really really want. That's great, but it's definitely hard to get everything that you want. And how many times have you decided to move and you're shopping for a new home, so you make a list, right? That's what a lot of people do. So I make this list. We're thinking about moving. Well, what do we need and why are we thinking about moving? Well, family's growing, so we need this many bedrooms, and eventually they're going to drive, so maybe I want at least a 3-car garage, and I'd like this, and I'd like my kitchen to be this big, and I'd love it to have a swimming pool if it could. And so you make this list of 8, 10, 12 items, and I'd like it to be here. That could even kind of be on your list, like where is it? Location, location, location. We all know that's one of the most important things in real estate. So you go out shopping for this, and you end up that when you find the home that will work well enough, you can afford it at the same time. Maybe it's 5 minutes outside of the exact location you want it to be. Maybe it's a 2-car garage instead of a 3-car, and you go, well, we'll deal with parking once the kids get older. There's all these decisions, and you do the same thing. Like Kim's doing the same thing, building. Should I put the waterproofing on? I couldn't do the radiant heat because I have to be able to afford where I'm going to live. So you're kind of picking and choosing. And when we go through a remodel and we work through what is it, how is it, we can show a lot of those options. So you can see you've got 10 things you want. Well, I'm going to show you a job that's got all 10, and here's where the investment is for that. But I'm also going to show you something that's probably the most economical way to build it with things that you will need, but maybe not all the things that you will want. And then you can see something kind of right down the middle, and you can co-mingle. So you kind of see price point A, B, C, what's in project A, what's in project B, what's in project C. And a lot of times we just end up with project D, where we're combining things. And okay, well, what if I did do the radiant heat, but I didn't do this, or I didn't do that, and we kind of mix things up, and maybe I lessen what the countertops are so that I could get this over here. Or a lot of times the countertops in a kitchen, that's where people are splurging because It's one of the first things you see, cabinets, countertops. So you're kind of working through and picking and choosing. We do the same thing in remodeling that's going on in new construction, that's going on in just shopping for a new home and or shopping for a new car. The same thing is, you know, we went shopping looking for a new car, and I really liked a lot of what this Ford Explorer had to offer, and I liked the screen in it a little better, and it had a few more features that I liked a little better. The passenger seat was a power seat. Well, when it's my wife's vehicle, so she's driving for the most part all the time, so we ended up with a different vehicle that her seat's powered, my seat's not, but that's okay. I'm in it a lot less often than she is. Screen's a little smaller, but it was like $7,000 less. So we all make those decisions in what we're doing and trying to find the value in, you know, when you see that, and just like when we were car shopping and I'm like, wow, do I like that car better? Yes. Would I rather get that one over the other? Yeah, I probably would have, but it just wasn't worth the $7,000. So it's like, yeah, nope, this has got enough of everything that I need. So we all make those decisions all the time on a daily basis. And, you know, it's nice to have somebody that will help talk it through, that can show you the options, that can help explain too, and really advise why would they do this, and what are the benefits, and really get you into picking the value for you that also benefits you in ways that maybe you wouldn't have known. And I'll take this all the way back to the first time I bought a car that had keyless entry. And we're looking at vehicles, and it's like, wow, well, that vehicle's a little bit more expensive than this one, and it's got the keyless entry. And I'm like, I just don't know that I need that. And then the person said, have you ever locked your keys in your car? And I'm like, yeah, that's happened. Okay, well, here's why it won't. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, geez. Yeah, I'm kind of liking that. That might have some value because that's a pain. It costs money. It takes time. When you lock your keys in your car, it's the biggest hassle in the world. So all of a sudden I'm going, oh, I'm seeing more value in the cost of what that particular thing is. So it's nice, and it's just one of the things that I love, just like what I'm doing right here today on this show, is let me try and help you understand what you might not. And a lot of times I'm learning from you guys just the same, but I absolutely love it. And the whole point is to just try and be a good advisor, truthful, get the right stuff out there. And just, if you explain things well and you give someone the ability to make a decision, then they can make a good quality decision for themselves. And sometimes some people will spend that extra $7,000 and others won't. And that's perfectly fine. That's just the way life is. And it's what we do every day. And understanding and having the options is just such a great thing for everybody to be educated and understand and know what's going to happen. So I've got a quick story on that. I'm going to tell you after the break when we return, because of some of the things that happen in our industry can really not give you the best advice. And there's sometimes there's financial reasons. There's reasons that other people are thinking that they really shouldn't be thinking that. And so I'll kind of explain that when we get back. But also, we've got another half hour, two more segments to go. Plenty of time for you. If you need anything, if you have any questions, you want to get in on the conversation, 314-436-7900 is how you'll get to me. We're going to jump into a break. Don't touch that dial, and I'll have that story when we return.
The voice of St. Louis. News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right. We've got a lot going on now. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris, your host here for you, helping you out. And as soon as I say, I promise I'll get to something, we get some phone calls coming in. So I will get back to that story, but we're going to go straight to the phones. And for everybody else, we'll have more time too. 314-436-7900 gets you to me. But let's jump to Denny on the phone and see what is going on. Denny, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I was driving. So I'm trying to help an elderly woman. She had a problem in her garage roof, and I went up in the attic and looked, and one of the 2x4 rafters had cracked. It had broke. There was a big knot in it, and it's cracked. And it formed a depression in a roof and on the outside. And I feel pretty confident that I can jack it up and get it back in order, and then maybe sister some rafters next to it. But my question is, I was talking to someone that they said, you know, rather than put anything like structural, like another 2x4, maybe even a 4x4 to hold that rafter back up, they suggested taking pieces of plywood on either side and, you know, cutting, you know, maybe like a 4-foot length of it and screwing it onto the rafter. And then of course the ceiling joist down below on the garage ceiling. Mm-hmm. And what they suggested is that spreads the weight out better than just say like a single support under the place where it's cracked. What do you think about that idea?
It will spread the weight out better than just a single support right underneath that crack. So the two ways you could do it is, like you were saying, if you sister something long on each side of that, kind of jack it up, sister like a new 2x4 on both sides and bolt through. And if that is 16 foot long, if you do that for a lot of it, 10 or 12 feet, that will help spread that out and hold it really well. Or depending on how tall that attic is, yeah, you can cut a sheet of plywood at an angle and basically attach it down the rafter and attach it to that ceiling joist and I would do one on each side where you kind of sandwich
right.
it, and that
right.
will work very well as well. Yep.
That's what they suggested. So the next question would be, I'm a little bit worried about putting like say a bottle jack or something on her roof rafter. I don't want to, you know, jack that weight up on our roof and then cause another problem on the garage ceiling. So I guess what I'm wondering, should I be thinking about maybe putting a sheet of plywood down on the floor of the attic so that once again it spreads the weight of that jack out more?
You could do what I would do is something a little thicker than plywood. So if you get if you get a like a 2x10 and mm-hmm. maybe even four to six feet long and lay that across the rafters and put it on that, because that'll be an inch and a half thick. So that'll right. help spread the weight because of the thickness.
Got it, yeah. Okay, so yeah, we're on the same page there. I was just trying to figure out a way to, rather than just have a single point of stress on the roof, on the garage rafters, to spread that out somehow.
Yep. And that will work. And that is kind of just like not just sticking one board right underneath the crack. Same thing. Just kind of spread that weight out so that it's not all in one kind of point load position is a good thing to do.
Excellent. Okay. I think I was on the right path. I appreciate the confirmation, sir. Appreciate
yep.
the information.
No problem. I appreciate it. That's what I'm here for. Excellent. And it's just so great to get that opinion. To make sure that you're doing a good thing and that maybe there's not more ideas out there. So, let's jump over to Mary and see what's going on with Mary. Are you there, Mary?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. What's happening?
Well, it's a plumbing issue, and I know you probably can't tell me much without seeing it, but we've not had good experiences with plumbers. And before we jump into this, I kind of want to figure out what could be causing it. Okay. We're having trouble with our faucet in our kitchen. It is down to a drizzle, and we've been putting off calling someone to look into it. Our shower is full force, bathtub, bathroom faucet is okay. It could be better, but it's sad. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
what is usually causing that, if it's just one of the water outlets that's really a problem? Do you have any idea what it could be?
Yeah, I have a couple ideas. Where is your home located? What city?
In St. Louis. We're in Southampton.
Okay, Southampton. And so you're in an older home then?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
1915.
Okay. Yep. And that was kind of age of the home and mm-hmm. location for water type and stuff. But so you've definitely got some kind of like calcium buildup somewhere in the line. Is it happening? Have you ever seen it happen more on the hot side than the cold side?
No, it's
pretty much
it's
both.
No respecter of temperature.
Okay.
But it does take like several minutes, like at least 5 minutes for us to get hot water even coming through there. So, and I am the dishwasher.
Oh, wow.
So it's very frustrating. It just takes a lot more time.
Yeah. And you've hit one of my biggest kind of pet peeve things that, I gotta have hot water to wash dishes, though. I can't.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm scalding hot. I wear gloves because it's scalding hot.
Yeah, very exactly. And I've mm-hmm. I've had the conversation before where I'm like, I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken as a teenager, and things came cleaner when the water was hotter and the grease, and it just did. I'm like, to me, that's like scientifically proven now. So I got to have some pretty darn hot water to do that. So,
I clean the floors in the house, you know, bathroom and kitchen with warm water, warm to hot water.
Absolutely.
And
so it sounds like you've definitely got some kind of calcium buildup somewhere that's happening in your lines, and it's probably going actually straight to the faucet where it's kind of cutting out the hot and the cold at the same time. So where it's gathering is more at the faucet and in the faucet fixture itself, and it's really about either changing those lines, figuring out why and where, and running new lines over to that kitchen, and looking at the hot water, the water heater, and seeing if it's got it helping build up any of that calcium and sending that through your hot water line, which is getting to the kitchen. And if the kitchen is the last, if it's like the last at the end of the line, that calcium that goes through those water lines can really kind of pass up your bathrooms and just end up at the kitchen. Even though you use the bathrooms, it just seems to go to the end of the line more often and further down, and then get clogged up at the end. And that's probably why it's happening there. I had a house do the exact same thing. I had two bathrooms. It went right past it. Never had an issue there. Always clogged up at the kitchen. And what I would do is take the faucet apart. Excuse me. And I made like a device that would hook to the faucet, and I can turn on a hose, hook a hose to it, and flush it out backwards. So I'd unhook it at the water heater and flush the lines out backwards, and all this calcium would come out. And then I would put it all back together, and I would do that about once a year to keep that line. As it started to slow down, I would just do it again. And because your answers are water softener and new hot water heater.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. You've been very helpful.
Okay. Yeah.
So it sounds like we have some options possibly or things to try at least.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're just going to have to try and keep trying some plumbers. to see who you can find. That's gonna.
I won't name names.
It's gonna work out really, really well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because the ones that have been a problem have been referred to. I just don't like paying for someone to talk about the personal life.
Yeah, and you can call. You
three
can call
hours
our
to change.
Office.
3 hours to change a toilet ring.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
You know, and then it poops out literally 8 months later. That's not acceptable. And then my husband had to do it on his own anyway. So
okay.
And it's been 5 years since. So it wasn't us, it was them.
Okay.
It's not me, it's you. So yeah, we have to find someone we can trust that will do the job, that will get in there and do it.
Yeah, so you can call our office. I mean, we are a licensed plumbing contractor, but we don't come out usually for like just plumbing issues like this because we're doing that like during remodeling projects. But we used a lot of plumbers in the past, so we can give you the name of a plumbing company, and then you can compare and see. Hopefully it's not one you've already tried and had an issue with, but it's always possible. But yeah, you could call our office, 314-909-1800. And just say, hey, talk to Rich on the radio, looking for a plumbing recommendation for a plumber, and they'll give you a name. All right.
I appreciate that. We appreciate that. Thank you. God bless. Thanks.
Yes, you too. Appreciate it. So, hey, we've got a couple more calls coming in here. If you guys could hold real quick through the break, we'll get that out of the way, and we'll come back, and we'll get to Mike and Bob as soon as we return. Right after this. Don't touch that dial.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, we are back. Welcome to the final segment. We do have time to get some stuff in this segment. If you've got something quick for me here, or Mike, we dropped a call. If you want to try and get back in, feel free to call back in, 314-436-7900. But we've got Bob on the line, has a question for us. So, Bob, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I've got a quick question for you. My wife and I are planning to put in a pool in our backyard. And we had a couple companies come out and talk to us about it. And I'd like to get your opinion on kind of pricing transparency, kind of in that realm of companies putting in pools. And then also the secondary question to that would be, at this point in time, it just seems like those pool companies are like super, super busy right now. So I almost feel like they come out, they see the property, and then they're just throwing out these big, huge numbers kind of overall. So I'd like to get your kind of opinion on that.
Oh, yeah. So definitely, I mean, the price of pools has with COVID had skyrocketed like a lot of all remodeling has. And I have a lot of conversations with people that literally they're looking at projects and they're like, I got $75,000 to $100,000, and I'm looking at some of these what their dreams are going, it's three times that. And pools have definitely done the same thing with, you know, through COVID and all of that. So the pools that, I mean, it's so much money to even start to think about the process of a pool. And I believe some of it's labor shortage and having the people and what you need to pay the people to keep them. And so much labor has increased, and then the cost of everything, the materials, everything you do to get it has just increased. But I do, I mean, supply and demand is very true. And if everybody's doing it, then they can just kind of, it is easier to just kind of raise your prices too, to earn more profit and do all that, because everybody wanted a pool during COVID, and there was companies a year and two behind. They were literally, we can't even get to you for a year and a half. And so people buying pools and waiting a year and a half to get it put in.
Do you Do you also think that it's kind of season driven as well? And have they caught up to the demand, I guess, is a question. I'm just feeling there have been a couple companies that have come out and just looked at things and then, again, thrown out these wild numbers, $200,000 for just kind of a basic pool. It just kind of blew me away. So just looking for some advice.
Yeah. No, so I have heard from some clients and stuff that there's companies out there that are getting to them a little quicker than they used to. So the waits are more 3 to 6 months instead of a year or better. So there should be a little bit more availability amongst a lot of these companies to get it performed. But I think there's still so many people that want them and so many people that they're seeing. I think they're just trying to kind of qualify really hard right up front. And it's probably happening because there's still so enough demand that they can do that. And they can just kind of say, yeah, you're going to be way up here. Or does that even bother you? You know, they want to know before they start doing too much effort and work and figuring things out. And it's the same reason we do it a little bit different and probably a little bit, hopefully, better. Whenever I'm visiting with someone, we always have what we call budgeting exercise based off of other projects that we've built and seen and priced and all of that. So when I'm looking at a project, I had one just a few nights ago with a kitchen where I'm going, I have one exactly like this. And it was the kitchen with all of this. And it was the flooring through here. And it was the powder room, too. And basically everything these people wanted. The flooring went into the laundry room. It went to the front door. It was all this different stuff. And I'm saying, so that project was here. So depending on what you pick, you're going to kind of be anywhere between like here and here on how what the supplies are and the different things just to get that path. And I think that's what they're trying to do. They're probably just not real good at it or real sensitive to it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even get past, basically just the number, right? I mean, that's they throw a number out there, and then my next step is to say, okay, can you give me a rendering or whatever, or what that's going to look like in my yard, you know, that type of thing. And they're balking at that, almost wanting me to say, yeah, the $200,000 is good before, you know, I even get any kind of rendering from them or anything like that. So it's been troublesome. And from a transparency standpoint, I think it's been a little odd as well. Of just trying to figure out, okay, what does that include? Like, what are you talking about type stuff? So,
yeah, no, I could totally get that. And that's another reason too, where some places, not pool places, but full design build, licensed architects, these people get paid for their time to perform the drawings and the designs and figuring out and helping someone through that process. So I think, again, that's probably where they're trying to go, is they're like saying, I'm trying to figure out if how realistic you are at purchasing this, and they're just not very good at it. And you probably just have to keep searching and calling places and trying to have those conversations and maybe have this conversation with them a little bit up front to say, I don't know. I don't get to see anything, so I don't know what to tell you. You know, it's hard to answer what I'd pay for because I don't know what it is. So, right. But hey, appreciate the call. We're absolutely out of time here. Got to run. Love it. Had a great time. Everybody out there, be good to your homes, and I'll talk to you next week.